Hey, Thrive Tribe, I want to thank you so much for joining in. Man, we just hope that today's message blesses you and that you just receive so much from the Lord. If this does minister to you, if you don't mind, take time to rate and review our podcast. It just helps us increase in the rankings and just get the word and the hope of Jesus Christ out to more people. So if you take time to do that, man, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you for taking time to join us today as well. Also, if you'd like to give to the church, you can do so by going to thrivechurchonline.com. Just click the giving tab. So without any further wait, let's jump into today's message. So last week in first service, I don't think we did it in second. We asked for folks just remember my wife in prayer. She was going through a lot of just some health issues, and but just praise God. She went Monday, got an absolute clean bill. Everything is good. Nothing to worry about. Yeah, absolutely. So Monday in the Bellamy house was pretty on just full tilt. It was crazy, right? A lot of prayer, a lot of things. And then Tuesday, I get a call from my mother-in-law. Her blood pressure is like 9 billion over 800,000. I don't even know. It was bad. So more prayer went up, and the chaoticness of the week hit. And really, it took me to this place, because when you think your spouse is sick or could be sick, and you're battling that spiritually and physically and emotionally, and because you don't just fight things just spiritually. You don't. When you're in a battle, you fight spiritually, emotionally. You don't have a fist fight just physically. You have it emotionally. You have it right there. There are all these levels to everything that we experience. And so when my wife was going, I knew she was going to be okay. I wasn't even worried about it. But in that process, I had these thoughts of, I've been married for 25 years. That's, yeah. I told first service, they clapped in first service too. And I said, man, y'all are clapping. 90% of that is Tracy. Only about 10% of that is me. And I'm lowballing that number a lot. She's extended tons of grace and all that good stuff over the years. But in that moment, so I'm a big Hallmark movie fan. Y'all know that. And we are not, you ever watch movies of like couples and it shows them wake up spooning and like, that's not us. I am naturally hot to the touch. Like my skin tone is naturally hot. And if I slept snuggled up to anybody, you're going to sweat. And not like that. Dot the perspiration, you know, like you have been on a treadmill serious about something. Like, so my wife and I do what we call the foot snuggle. So we sleep, but we sleep kind of angled towards each other so that our feet can touch. Don't judge me. I'm not asking you to marry me. I'm just letting you know how it goes down. And I had this thought of what would happen one day if I woke up and she wasn't there. Her presence wasn't there. It bothered me. And I got up in the middle of the night. We had some stuff to do a couple of nights this week. And about 3 o'clock one morning, I was up. And I should have told her, but I didn't. And, you know, I didn't want to disturb her sleep. So she's sleeping. And I ease out of bed. And I go into another part of the house. And I'm just taking care of some stuff. And kind of just really thinking through some things in the presence of the Lord. And all of a sudden, from the stillness of the night, heard this. Adam! There are two things that will happen in that moment. Either you'll say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Or you'll do something else. I didn't do the first one. It scared the life out of me. I said, huh, what? As I come running, I think she's dying. Right? I'm like, what's going on? She's like, where were you? The kitchen. Well, you didn't tell me you were leaving. It was out of kindness. But something dawned on me in that moment is what happens if we begin to move away from something and we miss its presence, but don't really realize that we miss its presence? It took me to this place, Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. Just a little backstory in this. Joshua's taken over from Moses. He's getting ready to lead the children of Israel into great things. And And right, he's just, life's about to happen. God starts talking to him and he said this. He said, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, just as I promised Moses. And here's what I came to. What if your life has promises over it? What if the places you're supposed to walk are places where God really wants you to go so that he can use you and bless you? Because I'm going to say this. Every time God uses me, God blesses me. I'm going to say that again. Every time I allow God to use me, God in return for that chooses to bless me. I would challenge you to think of one time that you were ever obedient to God. Anytime you ever did what God wanted you to, when God wanted you to, that the blessing of God didn't instantaneously begin to follow you. Well, you know, man, when I live my life right, man, things just seem to work, man. I'm happier inside and out, man. You know, and even when I was following God and it was a struggle to keep following God, when I did what God wanted me to, things just seemed to go a little better. And when I followed God and I had the same struggle, but I didn't do what God wanted me to, things just got worse. Because what I'm not saying is that if you follow God, everything's going to be easy. I mean, children of Israel still have to walk around the wall six times and on seven times and then shout and carry on. And I mean, they still got problems. But see, in one story, you hear about the children of Israel and they watch walls fall. But in another thing, Moses goes to the top of the mountain to get the Ten Commandments right. And in that moment, people started doing what they weren't supposed to. And they melted down all their gold and they made a calf and they started worshiping things they weren't supposed to. And their whole world fell apart. There's a direct correlation between our obedience to God and our habitual following of God and the favor of God. I've said this for years. You call me, hey man, how you doing? I go, I'm blessed and highly favored. That's a confession over my life. That's a conditional blessing. God refuses to bless my mess. We had a couple in our church not long ago, and they said, look, we've been living together for a while. We need to get married because we don't feel like God can bless us living in sin. High five. And here's the thing. If I say that in church, everybody at the church said, amen. Thank you for being the one person to know. So we'd amen that, right? But what about all the little stuff where we're not obedient? But we think God will ignore that disobedience because it's not a big one. I mean, Dad, I don't even know why you're getting mad at me for not cleaning my room. I didn't run out in traffic. Don't we have the same argument with God all the time? I used to, when I was late, now I grew up before cell phones. Back then it was pagers. Beepers, we called them. I never will forget, I was late coming home one time. My mom paged me, so I called her. And she said, what are you doing? Because, I mean, I wasn't a little late. I was like, whoa, late. I said, well, Mom, here's what happened. I went out with some friends, and we decided to start drinking. And then we smoked some pot. And then we went and found a house of ill repute. And I hired a hooker. But then I decided to marry her. And we'll be home in about 30 minutes. My mom said, Adam, Bellamy, you, and she lit into me. I said, Mom, I'm just kidding. I just lost track of time. I'll be home in a minute. My thought was, albeit a wrong thought, that I could tell her all this bad stuff that I didn't do and take the focus off the little thing that I did do. Now, let me ask you a question. How often do we do that with God, and how often do we do that to ourselves? Well, it ain't like I'm murdering somebody. I just got anger problems. It's not like I killed somebody. I just watched a little bit of porn. It's not like I really cheated on my wife. I'll take it a step further. God, it's not like I did any of that stuff. I just forgot to pray. God, it's not like any of that stuff. I just didn't read the word. Imagine this. Everybody always tells me, man, I just wish I could hear a word from God. I just wish I knew what to do. I just wish I could hear from God and know what to do. And I wonder sometimes if that moment, God's like, I left you a book. No, like I left you a book. Like if you like you don't need me to say anything new. Maybe you could just read my text. That was a play on words too. Text. 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 Maybe you could just read what I sent you. Because I think sometimes, anybody here have an iPhone and whoever you're texting doesn't know to turn off the red receipts? And you send them something and it shows up red, but they don't respond? You ever wonder if God's doing that to you? He's like, I see you read it. I see you read it, but you're not doing anything with it. I'm trying to take you to a place where I can bless all your footsteps, but you're not really, you're reading them, but you're not reading my text. So I'm going to skip down just a couple of verses to verse 5. Basically, the rest of that is just talking about the promised land. I encourage you to go back and read it, but it said this. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. When are you going to quit stressing out and figuring out that your prosperity or your demise, and everybody wants to dog say, are you a prosperity preacher? I believe this. I believe that I raised a kid, and I'm an evil dad, right? I'm sinful. I blessed my kid when he did right, and when he didn't, I either let bad things happen to him, and sometimes I caused bad things to happen to him. You ever tell your kid this? Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. And they go and do it, and then they come in the house crying, and you don't have a lot of sympathy for them. And you're going to know whether or not you've got a bright kid or a dense kid based on their repetition of that same event. Have you ever had your kid come in, and they're hurt, and you're like, well, don't do that again. I watched my sister get stung by a bee. A bee. And I said, I wonder what that feels like. So I took off my socks and shoes. I walked over to one. I'm not the smartest kid my parents ever had. And I stepped on a bee. And then I started crying, and I went, that's not a good thing to do. But I only intentionally did it once. But how many of us keep stepping on the same bee of sin over and over and over again? Not because the bees are swarming at us. Like the devil didn't even do it. We're walking out into the clover field, taking off our shoes, and looking for something to step on, and then wondering why we cry when what we should be running from that we ran to stings us. He said this, man, nobody can stand against you. When are we going to quit running from all these ghosts inside of our head that can't stand against us? I hear so many Christians talking about our government. Well, listen, if the government was the only thing holding you up, you're in trouble to begin with. Quit running from your enemy. I don't care who you're talking to. When Trump was in office, Trump was not Jesus. Obama was not Jesus. Biden is not Jesus, and whoever is whatever that number is, 47, ain't going to be my Savior. Right. Now, here's what I know. I need to read it. He said, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you, no matter who the president is, no matter what viruses are running around town, no matter what's going on in your life. You've got to figure out your success or your failure is totally based on your relationship and proximity to Jesus. Yeah, you could clap on that. If you get, that's not like a beg for you to clap. That's not what it is. It's like, man, if you really get that your whole life success or failure is based on your proximity to Jesus. You know what, man? I hate my life. I can guarantee you something. When people come to me and they start talking about their life falling apart, my first question to them is, where's your relationship with Christ at? You on fire? You burning? You like so close to him that if he coughed, you'd get something on you? No, listen. Anybody know somebody who likes to talk to you too close? uncomfortably too close. Like when they talk, you feel the hotness of their breath on the side of your face. You know what? In a lot of ways, that's uncomfortable. But if you're with somebody that you're passionate about, like your wife or husband, you desire that. How close do you want to be to God? God said this. He said, no matter what you face, I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. But that's conditional on you being close to me. Watch what he tells Joshua. Verse 6. Be strong and courageous. They're your two words for this week. This week you need to be strong and courageous. Why? Because in order for you to say yes to God, you're going to have to say no to some other things. I don't have time to pray. No, you're not strong. You're not strong enough to tell TV, Instagram, Facebook, or your neighbor no. You're not strong enough to tell work no. You know, one of the most liberating things I've learned as a pastor is how to say no. We have, on average, just average attendance, somewhere around 120 people, not counting our online crowd, which we count. Glad you're here. But folks in this church, and we all the time get invited to do something. And I felt, man, I can't make them feel bad by not showing up. They'd be horrible. And one day I woke up and said, you know what, if I show up for everything come Sunday morning, I'm not going to have anything to give them. So I started going, no, I can't do that. My Saturdays, very few Saturdays, I don't come over here by myself in the quiet and just go, it's the day before, Lord. I need you to talk to me about this one more time. Just make sure I didn't miss anything. God said this. He said, I need you to be strong and courageous. I need you to know what to stand up against, and I need you to be courageous enough to know what you have to run towards. And then he goes on and he said this, for you shall cause this people to inherit land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Here's the thing. You are creating a generational blessing around you. You don't have time to yo-yo, because every time you yo-yo everybody else that's connected to you. You're supposed to raise up so that your children and your children's children and your children's children's children have a legacy of faith. They need to talk about how when Papa prayed, let me tell you something, Jesus stopped, because Papa and Jesus were like this. My dad and Jesus, boom, man, it was like E.F. Hutton. When he talked, God listened. When God talked, Daddy listened. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. When God talked, my dad would stop the room. I feel like when my dad prayed, God stopped and listened, because Scripture told my dad that he heard his prayer. And I'm creating a generational blessing that's promised. It's my birthright. How many of y'all, if you're, God forbid, but if something happened to your parent, you think there are certain things that you should get? Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something. I've been around tons of people when they've gone on to be with the Lord, right? And I watch their family. They go, Mama told me I could have that ring. My daddy said when he died, that truck was mine. They'll argue with their siblings over it. I told my parents, I said, hey, before you go, if you want me to have something, give it to me. If not, I'm out. I ain't fighting over it. You ain't got nothing I would fight any of my siblings over, because I want to see them at Christmas, Thanksgiving, and Easter. Does this make sense? How often is it when a parent dies, people go, this family will never be the same? What legacy are you going to leave? When are you going to stop yo-yoing back and forth with God and just walk constantly in the presence and the fear and the admonition of the Lord, so that you can raise not just your children, but your friends and your friends' children? How, you never know who their salvation is dependent on your consistency. This man's leading millions of people that aren't really his, but God just gave them to him. He just adopted a couple of million people. Uh-uh. That's what he's thinking. I can't do this. God, do you know how screwed up I am? And God's giving him his game plan. He's saying, look, man, you have to just stay close to me. I'll fix everything else. I'll fix your enemies. I'll fix you. I'll fix the couple million folks that are following you. I'll fix their shoes. I'll fix their clothes. I'll fix this new promised land that we're going into. I'll show you how to set it up. Here's what you got to do. You have to stay close to me. I don't know how to be a mama. I can tell you, get real close to God. I don't know how to fix my finances. Get real close to God. Do it absolutely the way God tells you to do it every time. Just do it that way. I don't know how to get my temper under control. Oh, I got something for you. Jesus talked about your temper. Do it that way. Watch this. Verse 7. Be only strong and very courageous. Because courageous is contagious. Yeah. Courageous is contagious. You get one person in a room, and I used this example a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was in a leader's meeting. If I get sick, I want TJ praying for me. I'm just telling you, TJ will call down fire from heaven like, Bruh-shaw. But here's what I watch. As TJ prays, oh, we were kidding in the green room with some of our worship team, and I walked in. I said, what happened? I said, am I interrupting? They said, no, TJ just prayed. I'm like, whoo. And one of the guys said, man, if I got to go into battle and I can't find you, Pastor, I'm taking him with me because he knows how to pray. He knows how to fight. And what I listened was, he stirs up my courage. See, maybe your husband needs his courage stirred up and you're the woman who's strong enough to give it to him. Maybe your wife is bad on something and you have enough courage. See, I can't fight with my wife. We may have to fight somebody else. We may have to fight for somebody else, because I'm leaving a legacy behind, and my proximity to God dictates my ability to do that. He goes on and he says this, being careful to according to the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you, do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. If you want to be successful, here's what you got to do. Do it God's way. You have to know so much of God's word that you apply it in everything you do. I had a guy come to my house this week, and he was doing some stuff, and he looked at me and said, hey, have you ever heard Moses' code? No, not particularly. But teach me. This guy was not the guy you want to take theology lessons from. Because he was telling me that the grass and the trees and the earth and everything in it all lived in harmony and it was all equal with each other. Now, here's the thing. That's not what the Word of God said, but I was interested. I'd never heard of the Moses Code. I said, yeah, man. He said, Moses was walking in the desert and he asked God, he said, God, who am I? And God told him, he said, you are who you are. I said, really? Because what I read in the Bible was that God looked at, or Moses looked at God and said, God, who should I tell them you are? And God said, I am that I am. The everything wasn't found in Moses, it was found in God. Every problem you have, the answer is always, this is the quick version of your life, is always God and your proximity to him. So I looked at that guy and I said, so let me get this straight. So we're talking about the Moses Code. He said, yeah. I said, wait a second. But in Moses' code is where we get the Ten Commandments, right? And he said, right. And I said, but under that, the only way to cover sin was to sacrifice an animal. And he said, that's right. I said, but to sacrifice an animal was okay, but to kill a neighbor wasn't okay. He said, well, yeah. I said, so we have established that God has a hierarchy between animals and plants and people, right? And he said, yeah. I said, let me take this for granted. So if the grass and people are equal and it's okay for me to cut the grass, is it okay for me to cut you? No. I said, okay. So what we've established by knowing the Word of God is that not all things are created equal. But here's the thing. If you don't know the Word, how many lies are you falling for because you don't know truth? And once I know truth, I don't move. I have people all the time go, you're closed-minded. Yes, because I'm right. I'm not right because I'm right. I'm right because all I'm quoting is what God said to do. Why do you tithe? I think that's Old Testament. Because, listen, if I tithe and I'm wrong, God will still bless me. But if I am supposed to tithe and I don't, then God can't bless me. That's easy math for me. Man, I just don't know about healing. That's okay. Don't know about healing. I do. I know what God's will for that is. I'm going to die one day if I don't go by rapture. I just don't think I got to go out that way. Well, I don't know that I agree with that. Disagree. Have at it. I'm not mad at you. Husbands and wives are supposed to fight. Really? Because that's not what the Bible said. Doesn't mean it's never going to happen because the devil's still at work, right? But that just means that when it happens, I got to get a hold of it real quick because I got a legacy to leave. I can't let my argument with my wife move me further away from God because my whole life is based on one principle, not my job, not my income, not any of that. It's based on my proximity, my closeness to God. Because from that, every success follows it. And can I be honest, if you think about your life's failures happen when you move away from God. Doesn't mean that when you follow God, you don't have struggles. But you got a cheat sheet. Oh man, I got some financial challenges. Man, trust God. What does the Word say? When the Word says, don't move right or left off of it. Here's what I believe. I believe that if you stay close to God, good success will follow you everywhere you go. Because God can open in a minute what you can't open in a lifetime. Man, I'm just looking for a breakthrough. Can I be honest? We went to K&W this week, and there was this guy working there. And brother was the hustlingest dude I ever have seen. He was like, if you needed a tea, he didn't walk across the thing. He like jogged and grabbed your tea and brought it back. And he sweat, man. He'd have to dab off when he wasn't around customers. I watched him. He'd dab. But every customer had attention, had all that. And I looked at Tracy and said, let me tell you something. That guy right there will either run this company or another company. Because if I was hiring, I'd hire him. You can't teach hustle. And then it dawned on me, he's a big believer, man of faith. Everything he found to do, he did it with all his might as unto the Lord. He wasn't serving you. He wasn't serving you, K&W. He was serving Jesus. And I'm like, I'd hire him. If you were going to hire somebody, would you hire you or Jesus? But if you've got Jesus inside of you and you're tight, you're a man and woman of integrity. You're a man and woman of uncompromising commitment and passion. Who would you marry? You would marry you because you're committed. Where's your proximity? Verse 8. The book of law shall not depart from you, from your mouth. But you shall meditate on it day and night so that you be careful to do according to what is written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. Leave that scripture up for just a second. There's a scripture that says this: I want you to prosper even as your soul prospers. There's a direct correlation between where you are with God and what God can do in your life prosperity-wise. I believe this. I believe that favor of the Lord follows people that obey Him. He said this. He said, man, if you'll not let the Word of God leave your mouth, mean that you stay focused on, man, I'm doing this thing God's way. He said, man, the byproduct of that is the prosperity of God is going to follow you. Now, prosperity does not mean a mansion and a Mercedes. That's not what we're talking about. I know people that have mansions and Mercedes and have killed themselves. You can't buy happiness. You can't buy peace. You can't buy contentment. And I know people that live in a shack on the back 40 but are doing it God's way and they've never missed a meal and they're faithful and they're as happy as anybody else. Does that make sense? But prosperity is finding the blessing and the favor of the Lord in the moment. Does this make sense? Verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Notice this is the third time in this one text he said, be strong and courageous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord God is with you everywhere you go. Could it be that the problems and the struggles in your life happen because you've changed your proximity? You're not where you're supposed to be with God. You're not obeying. You're not following. You're not reaching out. You're not praying. It's like this. People go, man, I have a hard time reaching God. Hey, what if you got up every day and you said, you know what, I'm not a prayer, but every day I'm going to pray for 5 minutes. That five would get light after a while, wouldn't it? I'm going to read my Bible for 5 minutes. You start reading your Bible for 5 minutes long enough, that'll be like nothing. What if you said, okay, I'm going to go to 10 minutes. And you just, until it becomes nothing. Because if you're going to get close to God, you're going to do it 1 minute, 1 moment at a time that's intentional. You don't get married, I hope, on accident. How'd you get married? I don't know, man. I woke up one day and she was like there and I had a ring and we had a piece of paper and the preacher. And no, it happened when she stole 5 minutes of her attention. And you were smooth enough, or she was just faith-filled enough to give you 30 minutes another time. And then you got a 2-hour date and you managed not to totally screw that up. And then it grew, and then it grew. What if you intentionally just spent 5 minutes with God and let it grow? What if you became so intentional about your life that you refused to move from the presence and the obedience of God? As I come to close, Revelation 2, 4 through 5 says this. So, a little backstory. So we know that in the book of Revelation, God talks to the different churches. And this is what he says to one of them. He said, but I have this against you, that you abandoned the love you had at first. Verse 5. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen and repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. God said this. He looked at him and said, this man, I have this against you. You forgot your first love. And I wonder for some of us how much this is true. That we get so busy doing life that we forget that our first love always has to be God. Because in God is our eternal security, it's our promises, it's our blessing, it's our fullness, and honestly, it's the contentment in this life and the one to come. And how many of us have replaced that passion that we have with God for passion for our career, or our hobbies, or our own interests, or money? We're so busy chasing everything else that we can't remember to chase God. And God's saying, but if you chase me, all that stuff would be added to you. Scripture says this, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. And then all these things will be added unto you. What are these things? Everything else. Because everything else in the presence of God is just more things. It ain't the thing. Does this make sense? But I love the hope that Revelation gives us. It said this. It said, if you wake up and you figure out that you're that person just like that church, you've forgotten your first love? The answer with God is always found in repentance. Now, for some people, that's going to mean the first time that they accept Christ. That's repentance. But for some of us that's been in the faith and we've just kind of waxed cold, repentance looks like I figured out I've drifted away and I have to make a declaration. I have to make a promise to God. This is my comeback. I don't know where you're at in that journey. But with every head down, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Man, I'm going to start with the big eternal question first. If you're here, you're watching online, and you say, you know what, Pastor? Man, I've never accepted Jesus. Man, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. If that's you right now, whether you're online or you're here in building, you say, you know what? I need to receive Jesus. I need to repent of my sins. Will you slip your hands up? Thank you. Those online and in-house, I'm just going to ask for those that raised their hand, or maybe you're listening to this on podcast and you just know this is your moment to turn from the lifestyle that you're in towards the God who loves you and wants to provide for you, wants to be there for you and help you be everything you were created to be. Will you pray this prayer with me? Dear Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Make me right with you. I need you to change me, to shape me, to mold me, to be more like you. In Jesus' name. Now, for every person that's here and you're just struggling with that question, man, you're struggling with that I've drifted away moment. Man, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. But I'm moving back right now. I'm not going to forget my first love. I'm going to get on fire for the things I was on fire for. You know what? I'm going to put negative thoughts and temptations out of my head, man. I'm going to run towards the things of God and away from these temptations, man. I'm going to run towards God. I'm going to cling to God. You know what? If I've got to ride His coattails from here to heaven, I'm going to do it. If that's you, I just want to pray over you right now. Dear Heavenly Father, for every person that's battling that battle right now, that battle of all-out commitment to you, God, we're tired of doing it our way. God, we've got to have you move. We've got to have you forgive us. We've got to have your presence, God. We've got to press towards you. So, Father, right now, I just ask for everybody under the sound of my voice, God, that's in that place. God, right now, ignite a fire inside of them. God, ignite a passion. It stir up courage, God, that they can pursue you like never before. God, with a commitment to never turn around, to never go back, to never go back to being how they are right now, God. They are committed to growing and growing and growing in you. Then, God, I pray that you create a legacy that follows them. Their children and their children's children. Generations far off, should you tarry. God, let our impact into other people's lives be major. In Jesus' name, amen.